Victorian etiquette, beyond social ostracization. The grand ballrooms, the hushed drawing rooms, the meticulously set tea tables, Victorian England was a realm steeped in rigid etiquette. To the uninitiated, or perhaps the rebellious, the greatest fear associated with breaching these unwritten laws was social ostracization. To be shunned, to have the doors of polite society closed, was a fate considered worse than death by many. But what if the consequences of a faux pas went far deeper, seeping into the very fabric of one's legal, economic, and personal existence? Let us peel back the velvet curtains and examine the tangible repercussions faced by those who dared to tread outside the meticulously drawn lines of Victorian propriety. A world governed by unseen rules. Victorian society, particularly among the burgeoning middle and upper classes, operated on a complex system of social codes. These weren't merely suggestions. They were the bedrock of social order, ensuring a predictable and, to them, a stable existence. Etiquette dictated everything from how one addressed a stranger to the proper way to hold a teacup, the permissible topics of conversation, and the acceptable length of a lady's train. For women, in particular, navigating this labyrinth was a crucial skill, as their social standing, and by extension their families, rested heavily on their adherence to these norms. Beyond the drawing room, tangible consequences. While social exclusion was a potent weapon, the ramifications of breaking etiquette could be far more concrete. Economic ruin and loss of livelihood. Imagine a respectable gentleman, Mr. Arthur Finch, a rising solicitor in London. During a crucial business dinner, fueled by a touch too much port, he engaged in boisterous, ungentlemanly laughter and made an indelicate joke. His client, a man of immense wealth and impeccable breeding, was appalled. This single lapse in decorum did not just earn Mr. Finch a cold shoulder, it cost him the lucrative contract. This, in turn, led to financial difficulties, forcing him to seek less prestigious work, and ultimately, impacting his family's ability to maintain their social standing and even their home. Furthermore, in professions where reputation was paramount, a breach of etiquette could lead to professional ruin. A lady who became too familiar with a gentleman not of her acquaintance, or a gentleman who spoke too openly on controversial topics, might find themselves subtly but decisively excluded from important social circles that also served as professional networking opportunities. For women seeking employment as governesses or companions, a perceived lack of propriety could be a death knell for their career prospects. Legal ramifications, indirectly. While there wasn't a law against speaking out of turn, breaches of etiquette could, in certain circumstances, have legal consequences. For instance, a public display of strong emotion, considered highly improper for ladies, could be interpreted as hysteria or even madness. In extreme cases, this could be grounds for a husband or family to seek legal control over a woman's person and property, effectively rendering her a ward of the court. Consider the case of Lady Eleanor Vance, who, after her husband's public infidelity, was rumored to have caused a scene at a soiree. Her husband, using this as pretext, managed to have her declared legally incompetent, controlling her inheritance and confining her to the country estate. Her social transgression, driven by genuine distress, was twisted into a legal justification for her subjugation. Marriage prospects and dowries. For unmarried women, etiquette was the gatekeeper to marriage, and marriage was often the primary route to financial security and social advancement. A young woman who displayed an unladylike boldness, perhaps by conversing too freely with a gentleman or by showing too much interest in politics, could find her marriage prospects significantly diminished. Potential suitors and their families, seeking a demure and biddable wife, would be deterred. The size of a dowry was also often influenced by a woman's reputation. A woman with a history of social missteps, even minor ones, might see her dowry reduced, making her a less attractive proposition in the marriage market. This wasn't just about social standing. It was about ensuring the continuation of family fortunes and alliances. Reputational damage and intergenerational impact. The damage done by a breach of etiquette could ripple through generations. A family name associated with scandal or impropriety could be tarnished for years, affecting the marriage prospects and social standing of the offender's children and grandchildren. The weight of the family's reputation rested heavily on each individual member. The nuance of deviation. It's crucial to remember that Victorian society was not monolithic. The severity of the consequences often depended on the social class, the specific transgression, and the witnesses. A working-class individual's impropriety might be overlooked or even expected, whereas the same behavior from an aristocrat could be catastrophic. Moreover, some individuals, particularly those with strong personalities or unconventional views, actively pushed against these boundaries, sometimes finding ways to carve out niches that allowed for a degree of deviation without complete ruin. In conclusion, while the fear of social ostracization was very real, the repercussions for breaking Victorian etiquette often extended into the material world. Economic stability, legal rights, and future opportunities were all intrinsically linked to one's ability to master and adhere to the intricate dance of Victorian social codes. The seemingly trivial rules of decorum were, in fact, powerful mechanisms that shaped lives, fortunes, and the very structure of society.